Welcome to Living in the Quantum Field with Asara Lovejoy, inspiring motivational speaker and leader in what is possible in our human potential and author of The One Command. Here you enjoy a spectacular ride as you jump into another dimension of who you are and engage new portions of your biology, your brain, and super intelligence found right within your own DNA. Asara and her cutting-edge guests engage your mind, ask questions, and share revolutionary new ideas that unlock the secrets of your greatest intelligence that is you. Now, here is your host, Asara Lovejoy.
Hi, everyone. This is Asara Lovejoy, and we are so excited to have the opportunity to have Dr. Joe Vitale with us for two whole radio shows. I know that you and the listening audience are so excited about being able to transform your life, living in the quantum field, making that jump into another level of consciousness, discovering the greatness that's within you. And our guest on this show tonight has the message that you've been waiting for. He is so well known for his fantastic presence in the human potential movement. There's something about Dr. Joe that has transformed each and every one of us in our lives. And I have a personal story that I'm going to tell about my own transformation with his material and his wonderful work. But you're going to have to come back the next show to hear that story, because this show, we're going to focus on Joe and his experience of coming into this realization of on his own, from down and out, homeless, losing it all, to shifting into another portion of his intelligence. And we want to know his personal story. Also, before we get started, I want to say hi to our co-host, Dr. Katie Garnett. Hi, Katie, you want to check in for a moment?
I just want to say hello to everybody. And Dr. Joe, it's wonderful to have you on. I'm really looking forward to our time together.
Thank you, Katie. All right, Dr. Joe, please say hello. And I'd like to start off with that story. I know you've told it 100 times, 1,000 times, and I don't really need the story of the homelessness, but what I'd like to have you share with the audience is that place in consciousness where you were when you were in loss and lack, and what was the process that motivated you, that inspired you, that, you know, piqued you to make that change into another way of thinking?
Wow. Well, first of all, hello, everybody, and thank you both for having me on the show. I'm flattered and inspired by this and what you're doing.
Thank you.
As for your question, wow, you know, where was I at? Mentally, spiritually, physically, I guess, emotionally, I was in a sad, suicidal, scarcity mindset. Victim mindset is probably the best description of all, because I felt like it was me against the universe, me against the world. And, boy, what a battle that is.
Yeah, totally.
So it is not a happy experience. It's not a happy time. And I used to not talk about it at all because it was fairly traumatic to think about. It was psychologically damaging for a long time until after I had some sort of success. Friends said, you have to tell the story because it's inspiring. People who are struggling now need to know that when you change your thoughts, you change your feelings, you change your actions, you start to lift yourself into a whole new world. You're still on planet Earth, but your experience of planet Earth becomes quite different when you work from the inside out.
Yes.
But I was in the victim consciousness. That's the shorthand best way to describe it.
Okay, great, great, great. So when you were in that victim consciousness and you were actually suffering the consequences of that thought, of that feeling, of that emotion, then you got to see the results of that, which was like everything got destroyed. And I kind of want to say something about that, because the economy has gotten destroyed. We've torn down so many structures right now. And I, you know, come from the philosophy in the quantum field, living in the quantum field, that we're creating it all. So it's a wonderful idea that destruction can be positive, making ready for new reconstruction. But when you're in it, it doesn't feel positive at all if you get stuck in it, right?
And yeah, there's at least two things I want to say about that, because I totally agree with you. But when you're on the streets and you are broke and you are hungry, and in my case, people would say, well, if you were homeless, what kind of car did you live in? And I'd look at him going, car? I didn't have a car. There was nothing. I was homeless. I was
homeless
on the street.
Homeless, on the street, homeless, yeah.
Yeah, literally. So when you're in that space, you don't think of your own spiritual consequences. You don't think that your mind helped create that reality. You're
right.
Too much into struggle and survival. And because you're in the struggle and survival, you don't want to hear that it's your responsibility. You don't want to hear that if I change my thoughts, it's all going to be better. What you want to hear is, sir, I'll give you a job paying such and such, or here is some money, go buy yourself a hamburger.
Yeah.
So when we're in that space and we're clawing by tooth and nail to survive, it's really difficult to see a more elevated view of existence. But
I
now know that that's exactly what we need to do to change that victim state, that survival struggle. I agree with you. When I look around and people ask me, hey, what about the recession or depression or these joblessness, homelessness, all this going on? I have this wider view that says, you know, it's actually a good thing. It's causing us to turn within. It's causing us to look for a spiritual remedy. It's causing us to realize that, hey, you tried to make it work with your ego, and you found out that's not going to work. Now you have to try something else. And we just happen to be desperate enough that a lot of people who would never consider it at any other time are starting to imagine, oh, maybe if I change my thoughts, maybe if I change my feelings, maybe if I look into spirituality, maybe if I start to play with different levels of my brain, then maybe my life will change. I think that all of this is a shakeup. It's a kind of a spiritual kick in the butt.
Yeah, totally.
To make
it
us
is. And,
look at
and
something
the thing
else.
Is that, as you said, now, you know, what your experience is so dramatic that what I think is really important for the listeners to hear, because even though you're not homeless, the feeling state and the emotional body state and the mind state is exactly the same. If I'm going to lose my house, I don't have a job, I can't start my own business, the economy's bad, where am I going to, you know, I lost my retirement. All of those thoughts, you're in that same, even though you're not homeless, it's the same mental state. It's the same victim mentality. But you can say, oh, my gosh, no, Asara, that, I didn't create that. That's outside reality affecting me. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Joe will say instead something completely different, as we say something completely different. So, Dr. Joe, when you were in that victim mentality on the street, what happened that was the shift? What, you know, process did you go through? How did you, like, see a new glimmer of something or hear something or have a direct, you know, have a direct relationship with your higher self? Or what was it that began to motivate you, shift you, and redirect your energy?
Well, that's a wonderful question. You know, it's interesting timing that we're doing this interview and all of your listeners are getting to hear it at this point, because CNN televised and filmed me going back to Dallas just a couple weeks ago. And Dallas is where I was homeless 30-some years ago.
Uh-huh.
They wanted me to go back and they wanted me to relive it. And
oh,
it was like,
gosh.
Oh, great, this is going to be a party.
Yeah.
I wasn't really looking forward to it. In fact, I had a couple sleepless nights before it. And until I told myself, well, this is part of the cleansing. You know, if there's anything left in me from those old memories, here's the time to heal them. Let's raise it up to a higher consciousness and let's wash this clean. So I took a big gulp of air, braced myself, and I went back to Dallas. Only this time I went back in a Rolls-Royce Phantom. So you can imagine the dramatic mental shifts going in my mind. 30 years ago, I don't even have a car and I'm on the streets and I don't know what to do. Today I go back in a Rolls-Royce Phantom, and a friend of mine is driving, so I'm actually in the back seat like the king here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I go back in a very different experience, and they wanted me to go to where I had been and where I had had my shift.
Uh-huh.
And I swear, thank God, thank the universe for the public libraries of the world, because it was in the downtown public library in Dallas, which I did go back into as CNN had a camera on me the whole time.
This is going to be a fabulous show. I can hardly wait to see it on CNN. That's fabulous. Oh, my gosh. This is just so, this will be so helpful to the world. They need to know, you know, education. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah, well, it's it. It's books. And that's really what I'm coming back to, is that I've always been in love with books. I'm still a bookaholic today. Yes, I write them, but I read them, I buy them, I collect them, I give them. I mean, I'm just addicted to books. And books have the wisdom of the universe. And when I'm in Dallas, and a lot of the things that I had hoped for weren't coming about, and money that I had entrusted in people was ripped off from me, and I end up becoming this victim and becoming homeless. Where did I go? I went to my friends, the books, the wisdom of the universe. And I remember going to the self-help section and books like Think and Grow Rich, the famous Napoleon Hill book. But even more importantly, The Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol. These books came from a different level of consciousness. And I remember reading them going, this doesn't even seem real to me as a person experienced victimhood. But it,
so was there? This is so fascinating. So you already were a student. You loved learning.
Yes.
You have the love of learning. Now, how did you pick metaphysical and inspirational books when you were homeless, down and out, and you went into the public library? Was there a little voice inside of you? Was there a feeling? Did you have a strike of lightning that came and said, "Joe, you got to do this. You know,
yeah.
You got to make a change here." Was it something more gradual? What? How did that look? You know, to the outside world, the listeners can kind of get an idea of how they can check in when they're making
beautiful
these changes in themselves. How would they notice the signals?
You know what? I believe that every one of us is getting an inner nudge all the time to do something. It may be an inner nudge to pick up a phone or to listen to a show or to buy a book or to attend a seminar or open a business or buy a particular piece of clothing. I don't know what it is, but we're all getting a particular nudge. And I would tune in, and in the early days, and this took me decades to learn, I would ignore the inner nudge.
Uh-huh.
I would hear it and go, "I'm not doing that," and let my ego override it. Until I learned that the more I did it, the easier my life became. And that's like a principle we should write down. The more we listen.
The way I looked at that, too, was that I've always been psychic, intuitive, read people's minds when I was 5 years old, and I would, make the wrong choice all the time, 100%.
Yes.
I said, you know, apparently when I deny that inner nudge 100% of the time, if I can just reframe that and do what's uncomfortable physically in my body, it's not normal, it's not comfortable, it's a new experience in my body, but let's just play with that and I'll just do what that inner nudge says.
Yeah.
That's when my life really began to transform as well.
Ooh, what a beautiful insight and statement to share. Because what I found is when I just kind of listened to the nudge, it wasn't directing me into the middle of traffic on the freeway.
Right.
It wasn't that kind of thing I should be afraid of. It was directing me to go to section 600 in the public library, which might have had the metaphysics in it.
Uh-huh.
And I'd wander over there going, okay, what am I doing here? And I swear this is how it would happen. I'd look at rows of books, and one book would seem to have a halo or an aura or a light on it. And it wasn't a physical light, like there was a spotlight from the ceiling aimed at it.
Okay.
It was almost like, I don't know, a spiritual glow to it.
Yeah,
and I'd look and go, that's a little...
Now we're talking quantum field. So now we're talking consciousness meeting consciousness.
Yeah.
And so now what we're saying is that when, you know, let's look at Bruce Lipton when he's talking about the way that we're shifting the DNA of the cells of our body by the outside signal. So the inside signal of our DNA is saying there's something greater that we can resonate with than our victimization and our small self and our inner fearful programs.
Mm.
And that is a light around a book. And it's real. It's not Harry Potter's, made up stuff. It's real. It's physically real in the universe that we have the capacity in our eyes to actually see that light, and then you responded to that light.
That's exactly it. But in my young victimhood mind, I didn't understand that. All I would say is, well, that's strange, but let me just go and reach over. I'm actually reaching my hand up in the air right now as if I'm reaching for a book.
Uh-huh.
And there'd be books like Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth, and some of the very early metaphysics books, the very early stuff like Thought Vibration, which is one of the very first books on Law of Attraction.
Fabulous. Yeah.
Classic. But I'm being introduced to this as a homeless person standing in a free public library reaching for books that have lights on them. On one level, it's like crazy. On another level, it's learning to trust. Now, as I say that, I want to confess, I did not trust immediately.
Right.
I was kicking and screaming in the sense that I just wanted my current reality to change and make my life more comfortable. I wanted to get rid of the fear. I wanted to get rid of the anger. But I was searching enough and open enough that if a book with a glow on it would appear, I'd reach for it. But I didn't always pay attention to that nudge, and I've been telling people ever since, the more I paid attention to the nudge, that little feeling within that would say to write this book or read this book or whatever it happened to be, the easier my life became, to the point that I was once homeless. Today I have a car collection, a guitar collection, a multi-compound house. I travel all over the world. I've written 50-some books. I think my 51st came out today. I'm going to Poland next week. I'm in 15 different movies. I've got all kind of audio programs. I mean, this has come, and I hope that's not sounding like bragging, because what I'm trying to say is I've been inner-directed, and the more I became inner-directed, the more happy, healthy, spiritually complete I've become.
I just want to take a little minute here to just announce that in case you come in late on the show, right now we're talking to Dr. Joe Vitale, and we're talking about the transformation in consciousness of how you get from where you are to where you want to go. And he's sharing and inspiring us with the most fantastic information, sharing his own personal journey on this radio show. And check in on our next show, because we're going to hear a lot more from Dr. Joe. I just want to also mention, remember, everybody, you can go to www.radiogift.asara.com. And everybody, check out MrFire.com. Joe, as a matter of fact, has some free books right for you on the front page of his website as well. And Katie, I know you had some questions and thoughts that you wanted to check in on with Dr. Joe.
I did. Thank you. Joe, in your book, your latest book, Attract Money Now, you have 7 steps for people to begin to change their lives or change their lives dramatically. And the first step is alter how you think.
Yeah.
And you've already been talking a lot about that. But if you would direct it from the standpoint of it, back in your book, Spiritual Marketing, you told a story about your brother and how you were talking to him, and you were talking about he wanted a Corvette, you wanted a Corvette, you knew you could get a Corvette, and he felt he never could.
Yeah.
So how do you help people who aren't thinking, who haven't made that shift? What is it that you tell them that helps move them forward into making that leap?
The number one way that I talk to them is by telling them stories, either of myself or other people who have been where they were, opened their mind, took risk, and then were able to get the different result. Because if I walk up to them, and this is just like persuasion 101, if I walk up to them and say, hey, think differently and you'll have different results, most people are going to look at me like, I'm already thinking good, thank you very much. and they're not going to be very open. But if I talk to them in terms of, well, you know, a friend of mine who was struggling and he barely had a part-time job that paid him anything, he read, you know, Attract Money Now or The Attractor Factor. He saw the movie The Secret, or he read something, he listened to something, he started to meditate. And you know what? He got this 6-figure job. He has this brand new car. He has this beautiful relationship. He meditates every day. So I tell a story, a true story, so people get the inspiration that their life can be different. This is one of the reasons that I agree to be on a show like this. Because
sure.
I want people to hear this and come to the idea that Joe was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I mean, nobody in my family wrote books. Nobody in my family read books. I learned all of this on my own. I was homeless. I had to go from homeless to poverty, and then from poverty start to learn how to get published. I just had to learn all of this. And as I tell my authentic story, there are people out there going, wow, I didn't know that. If that
so
can
it's
happen
the stories
for Joe,
that really take people to their right brain and take them deeper into their process. You have another step, step 4, asking for help.
Yeah.
What do you suggest to people, you know, if somebody says, well, I don't know anybody like you, I don't know anybody that can help me, how do you help them ask for help?
Well, again, I tell them a story because, one of the reasons I struggled so much is that I refused to ask for help. It was one of those things where I thought I had to do it my way, and that's a very macho mentality. But a lot of people still have that because they think if they ask for help, and men and women share this, they'll see it as a sign of weakness. And I actually went to a seminar, and the people in it were all about networking and asking other people for help, and I was really resistant. And she said, the seminar leader said, when people ask you for help, how do you feel? And I thought, and I said, well, I feel great. I'm glad I'm able to help. And she said, when you ask people for help, they feel great too. They want to help. And so I saw that one of the reasons that I was able to shift being homeless is using all these different steps, but one of them was, don't be afraid to ask for help, whether it's going to the library and saying, which book should I read to help me out of this right now? Or going to some of the spiritual teachers or psychics that are out there and saying, look, I've kind of lost my way. Help me get reconnected to myself. Or asking, what's the best meditation to do? Or what's the best visualization to do? The more I've learned to ask for a help, the more I got information that was out of my ego.
And that really ties into what a lot of writers like yourself and Bruce Lipton and so forth are talking about in terms of us shifting now from the being the independent, I can do it all myself, to shifting into survival and thrival is really about cooperation.
Yes, that's
and
it.
And within that, I have another short question about that, and that is your step two is giving without expectation. What do people say to you when you say, you know, if you want to get, give? How do they respond to that?
Yeah, they're resistant to that. And again, I can relate to it because I remember I would go to Unity churches and Unitarian churches and Science and Mind churches because I can go to the free Sunday things and try to find inspiration. And they'd be talking about giving. And I'm like, yeah, I know what you want. You want me to give money to you so you have money in your pocket. And I'm not going to give you any. I'm onto your scheme.
Yeah.
So I relate to that. Until I started to realize, well, let me just try it. I've got $5. Let me give a nickel. Or I would try it with something else. Like, I have a bunch of books. Let me try giving a few books away. And with my tiny little experiment, I started to see it coming back. And so I keep telling people, please just try it. And I don't say go broke. If you get $100 in your pocket, I'm not saying give away your $100. But I am saying give away a part of it. The rule of thumb is generally 10%. But if you're not even feeling comfortable with that, put your toe in the water and try it. Because
and,
I have found that the more you do it, you know, the more you start to receive.
And in that cooperative vein, this is Asara again, and in that cooperative vein, that flow, we often talk about being able to receive. Well, if you're not able to give, you're not able to receive.
Oh, that's a wonderful point.
Yeah,
I have a friend of mine who has said that the window you receive through is created by what you give.
Yeah, totally. Because if you believe that it's not that you would people are making demands and bothering you by asking you for your help, then you won't ask for help because you believe the same thing that they would think that about you.
Yeah, that's
it's reciprocal.
Wow.
And then what I just in that giving help and sharing and being in that cooperative mind, you can always give that energy. You know, you can always do something that's of service if you don't have money. You can always do service. But in a business, we know, and you know from your hypnotic marketing, from your wonderful marketing skills and techniques and wisdom, that the more you give out, the more you serve, the more information you help, then that is creating a stream, an open highway for people to have an interaction with you.
I actually call that karmic marketing.
Karmic marketing.
Karmic marketing, because it's the whole philosophy of the more you give, the more you're going to receive. And even the book that she mentioned, Attract Money Now, I'm giving away the digital version of that book at attractmoneynow.com. And
hey,
part
everybody, run and go to attractmoney.com right now. You've got to have this book in your library by Dr. Joe Vitale.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I didn't expect that. What I was trying to say, though, is, first of all, yes, I'm trying to help the people who are, like I was thinking 30 years ago, they're struggling. So give the book away. There's a seven-step formula. But on a higher level, this is giving back to the universe because I know the universe is just going to bestow more blessings on me.
Yes.
So I've been doing this for decades now because I started as a skeptic. And when somebody says, yeah, give without expectation, sure, I say, please, just experiment with it. Read some of the stories of people who have tried it and seen what they've gotten, and just open your mind to the possibility that just maybe this will work.
Well, and you know, we talk about the one command helping to shift people's unconscious programming, because all of that ego identification is just learned. It's just learned behavior, but the cells of the body and the DNA believe in survival, that it's survival learned behavior.
That's
and
right.
So what you're saying is, listen, that coming into trusting another part of yourself, another portion of your intelligence, that greater portion of your intelligence that's yours, I mean, I love to say it's already hardwired in our DNA to be a success. All we have to do is give up everything we think we know and we can have it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, the key word in all of this is trust.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where I'm asking myself and others to trust those inner hunches, because that's coming from our connection to what I call divinity. Some might call it God or the collective unconscious or Gaia or life or Tao. There's all kind of words for the names of God. But I'm saying that we are connected on that level. Most of us have tuned to a different station because we're tuning into our ego. We're listening to the fear and the survival and the doom and gloom that the media gives us. And when we get attached to that, man, life's not very much fun. We got moments of pleasure, but most of it is fear-based.
So tell me about that first change when you, after the library, and you, you know, CNN is filming you now in the library, and you're seeing the glow around the books. Mm-hmm. What is it that you did that were the action steps that finally brought you into the fruition of a change? I know that there's gradual change. It does, like you said, you know, it's like stop, start, push, pull, dragging your heels every inch of the way. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, people have often asked me, says, what's the one thing you did to get out of homelessness and become a success? And it used to drive me crazy. It's like, one thing? You think I did one thing? And so finally I answered, okay, the one thing I've done to help myself shift was everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I went and read the books because they were free at the library. I went to the talks that were free on Sundays with the kind of new thought thinking things. I read the magazines, I did the meditation, I experimented with the affirmations and the visualizations and starting to trust my intuition and starting to experiment with giving. I did all of that in order to change myself because I was being propelled from the inside to this transformation. So I think if there's any bottom line guiding principle, it's learning to trust that inner feeling, the inner voice, the inner nudge, that's taking you in the right direction. And that's what I had trouble with, because every time I heard it, it was like, I don't want to do that, or I didn't trust that it would work out, until I realized that the more I did it, the more my life changed.
And so, did you notice that, you know, we talk about this quite a bit, that when you're dissolving the ego structure and going into that greater intelligence, that nudge inside of you, you call it, you know, your divinity.
Yeah,
when you're doing that, I see there's actually a physical experience in the body of space.
Yes.
Where you're like from one step in this universe and another step in the other universe.
Yes. There's an expansiveness, and that's a wonderful reminder, because this is a way to tell whether you're there or not. If you're getting a thought that makes you feel kind of closed down and tight, and your breathing gets shallow, it's more of a fear-based ego experience. But if you're getting that nudge, that intuition, that inspiration, and suddenly you breathe a little deeper, you have more of a glow to you, there's a little bit more lightness to you, you feel like your whole body's expanding a little bit, at least energetically, and maybe your energy even does pump up a little bit, these are signs you are on the right path. This is a wonderful way to judge, did I just get inspiration or did I just get another negative thought? Well, how do you feel? Did it close you down? Do you feel worried? Do you feel kind of like you don't want to do it? Or does it feel like happy, expansive, healthy, spiritual, enlarged? Now we're talking about a spiritual connection, and that's the way to go.
Yeah. And then again, it's like, and be in community while you're doing it, because the ego is going to say, I'm not sure, you know.
Yes.
What if this is not, what if this is crazy making, and will I fall off the edge of the planet? Will I end up in the mental hospital? What will happen if I break out of that limiting idea of myself and go into that greater idea of myself?
Well, let me tell you something I learned early on, and again, please don't think anybody that I learned these things instantly. I had to keep being reminded until they became second nature to me.
Yes.
But one of the things I learned is that there's what's called what-if-down thinking and what-if-up thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my friend Mindy Odlin's written a whole book on this called What If It All Goes Right? And you have to become aware that the thinking that says, what if this doesn't work out? What if this goes wrong? What if I get hurt? What if I go insane? What if I look like a fool? What if I go broke? That's the what if down thinking that's going to close your energy down, disconnect you from the universe, disconnect you from your own heart and soul, make you feel miserable.
What if it was just true that it was going to all work out? You know, oh, it won't work out. Well, what if it was just true that it was going to all work out? And then you check in with the feelings again, right? How does that feel when you say, I want to share that, you know, there is that space of trust where you don't know where you're going and you've left where you've been. And you're in that in-between. That is that moment of trust that you keep talking about, Joe. Isn't that true?
That's absolutely true. And so the what-if up thinking is the opposite of the what-if down thinking. You start to say, well, what if this is true? What if this is from God? What if this works out? What if this is my higher consciousness? What if I'm going to be healthier and happier and wealthier than ever before in my life? And as you ask these up questions, you start to feel more alive and happier and spiritually connected and divinely connected, and you really got more energy and you want to move forward. All of these are choices, and all of these are ways to tune in to our connection to what I call divinity.
And when you were making that shift, you know, you have the Bob Proctor story where you sent him his book.
Yeah.
Where you sent him your book and you wanted him to do your book because you weren't quite up into that next level of yourself where you had confidence and trust in your own in your own worth. And he threw it back at you, right?
Yes. He actually kind of embarrassed me, but the quick story was I went to one of his Science of Getting Rich seminars, and this one was in Denver. He had invited me to come as his guest, and so I wanted to give him a gift, and I gave him a copy of an early book, Spiritual Marketing, which since has become The Attractor Factor. But I only gave it to him. I would only hand it out to a handful of people. I never intended to publish it. I was scared. I was reserved. I wasn't trusting. I just thought, this isn't going to be good for me. People think I'm too woo-woo. They'll think I'm nutty. But Bob Proctor stood in front of all those people, 250 people in the seminar in Denver, and said, hey, I just got a new book from Dr. Joe Vitale. It's called Spiritual Marketing. It is great. You're all going to want it. And I was mobbed by people who wanted that book. And I was pushed off the mountaintop and had to fly and get that book published and get it out there, which, of course, has changed my life.
Yes.
That one book is what got me into The Secret, all these TV shows, all these other movies. It led to other books. It has changed millions of lives, all because Bob helped push me when I was still being in fear.
Yeah, so there again, that's that cooperation and asking and putting yourself in the right circumstances, putting yourself in the opportunity, taking the action steps to go to the seminar and hand out the book.
Absolutely.
So there was that physical action step in the universe after the thought, after the emotion, then the creation, and then the action, right?
And I'm a big believer in action. I'm enough of an entrepreneur to know that unless you or somebody moves, nothing's happening. And that I actually feel that when you get an idea, an inspiration, you must take action because that is a gift to you from the universe, from God, from the divinity. And if you don't take action, it's like refusing a gift that's been given to you by Santa Claus. It's this is your gift to go and run with it, but you have to take action to make it happen.
Katie, you know what I'm going to say, right? I'm hearing you think over there. What's that question you got?
Actually, it goes back to your original book. And you use something that's after my own heart. When I was teaching at the psychology at the University of Hawaii, I always used Star Trek as cogent lessons. But you were talking about the example of the show Shore Leave, where everybody was beamed down to the planet, and everything that they thought was manifested, and they didn't understand that till the end of the show, that what they were thinking was actually outpictured in reality. How in that process, when you're teaching people, you say you use stories. What do they get from those kinds of stories? Do you think that they're getting really what you're intending?
Well, I hope so, but I also know that people have free will and they may be reading all kinds of things into the stories. I usually say things like Shore Leave, that TV show, is actually Earth. And that everybody here on Earth is having the same experience. What we think and focus on tends to come about. The only difference is when Captain Kirk and the gang went to shore leave on that planet, there were only a handful of people who beamed down. So whatever they thought was almost instantly created a moment later. Well, we've got 7 billion people on this planet, so we have a little leeway. When we think something, it doesn't usually happen instantaneously. My rule of thumb is if you think it and feel it and kind of maintain it, 3 days or so after is when you're going to see it. So there's a little bit of lag time. And I say all of this to help elaborate on the story. But I'm really hoping at heart people just get the empowerment lesson from the story and realize, hey, we better watch my thoughts and my actions and my feelings and beliefs because it's tending to come about on planet Earth.
And that leads to my next story, or my next question is, what happens then when they ask, okay, I get that part, but how come I'm thinking all these things and I'm not seeing them show up?
I love that one. See, I've really got on a soapbox about this one because there's conscious thoughts and there's unconscious thoughts. And the unconscious is far, far more powerful than the conscious. The conscious mind, you can sit there all day and say, I'm attracting money, I'm attracting the perfect relationship, and visualize that. But if in the unconscious you're thinking money's bad, money's evil, or I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, nobody will ever love me, you will veto your conscious intention. And this is where the deeper work is really important. Yes, you can sit there and say, I'm attracting money. And if you have no counter intentions to that, no counter beliefs, you'll probably attract money. But for those who say, hey, I've been watching The Secret, or I've been reading your books, or I've been doing this and that and the other, and I'm not getting the results, I say there's deeper cleansing that needed to be done. And this is the advanced course in metaphysics at that point.
Perfect answer.
That's great. Yeah. So you just keep on. One of the things that I think is notable in our, you know, Western society is the inability to stay focused on a certain path.
Oh.
I mean, I write in my newsletter that I've never made change or made transformation on my own. I've only done it in cooperation with leaders, innovators, people that have been ahead of me, that have inspired me and pulled me forward. And that's the results of the change that I've made. And that I know you have some wonderful programs. We're going to get way more into the next radio show that we're in together. But the principle is that, can you actually dedicate yourself to a practice? Can you dedicate yourself to a principle and just in the sway of your life, keep that philosophy in front of you? You know, instead of, well, this will give me the answer. No, that will give me the answer. Okay, well, you know, the Heinz 57 variety. And how can you reestablish or establish something new when you're going in all those different directions?
Yeah, I really think having a discipline is great. As I say it, I also want people to have an open mind so that they can hear different things, possibly practice different things. But I think having a discipline is essential. For example, I wrote a book called Zero Limits, and in it I talk about a Hawaiian mystical cleansing and healing technique called Ho'oponopono. And that basically is what I use every day, all day long. Now, I'm still reading. I still listen to other people. I still go to talks. I still meet other teachers. I'm still open to new possibilities and avenues. But I also know that I need to keep doing one thing to build my own inner muscle. And for me, it's been Ho'oponopono.
Oh, and isn't that fabulous? Okay, I was going to kind of make everybody wait till the next show, but we'll have something even, well, you know, we'll have another secret to reveal in the next show. But I have to say that really, truly, your Ho'oponopono program, when you just sent that viral with your email,
yeah,
and you sent out that letter, you transformed my life. And,
oh,
I will tell you how you transformed my life, because I have always been a student of metaphysics. I mean, I was reading The Science of Mind text when I was 9 years old, and I was saying, how come everybody doesn't know this is it? Thoughts creating reality. How come they don't know it? But when Ho'oponopono came around, I went into that place inside of me, and I said, you know what? I've said that we create reality, but I was thinking about, well, I'm having an action-reaction. And that story transformed me into a whole nother quantum dimension of consciousness. by saying, oh my God, I didn't know we were creating it all.
Yes.
And it is so empowering to absolutely know. And everything that happens in my life now, I get the biggest kick. For example, my guy that does my lawn, he hasn't shown up for 2 weeks. And you know, and my lawn is here, I'm looking at it. I have over an acre of lawn, and I'm looking at it all, you know, really high and weedy, and I'm like saying to myself, well, I didn't know that I didn't want that guy to cut my lawn this week. I don't know. I have to go in and find out what I want instead. And my old program would have been, I'm going to make that guy wrong. He's, you
right.
know, let me down.
Yep.
How could, you know, how come my lawn's not getting, you know, I would have gone into argument, anger, frustration. And now I'm just having a sense of humor. It's like, you know, it's like, this is so funny that I want my lawn to be long.
Well,
now,
thank you for telling me that. That Ho'oponopono, as described in Zero Limits, has been probably the most powerful, miraculous, transformative thing that I've ever come across in my own life. And when I sent that article out you're referring to, I had no idea that 5 million or more people would end up seeing it. I just sent it to my list and said, if you like it, pass it on. But good Lord, I didn't see what was coming.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that just absolutely phenomenal?
Yeah.
That. I mean, you lifted up the, you know, you notched up the collective unconsciousness in such a huge way, Dr. Joe. So that, you know, so this is like who you are in our universe is you are this, you know, vessel of change. Because of the drama of all of the change you've gone through from homelessness to multimillionaire, you're holding that presence and possibility for all of us. I mean, I know I'm talking about you instead of letting you talk for yourself, but it's true. I mean, here you are, you're holding this presence of possibility. And if you're holding that presence of possibility, we can all tune into that, right?
Absolutely. And others have held it for me. So even though I'm flattered and I give a nod of acknowledgement to that, and I'm grateful for that, others have done the same for you and me and for others before us.
Totally.
So, you know, and even Dr. Hu Len, my co-author for the Zero Limits book, he did that for me as well. The only reason I was able to write about Ho'oponopono is because I discovered him, and because of his consciousness, if you will, it helped raise me up enough that I could understand it and then, of course, turn around and communicate it. So it's all a win-win. It's all a cooperation. We're all helping each other in sometimes very unconscious, unknowing ways.
Yeah, I love it. Katie, I want to go into a couple of commands in a minute, but do you have anything you want to say before we go in that direction?
No, next time, though, I'd like to talk a little more about your work with Stanley Hu Len.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll get into that. And I like the Miracle TV. So, yeah, we'll definitely get into what's going on in the Miracle TV show. That looks like just a fabulous opportunity for all of us.
Be glad to talk about any or all of it.
Okay, fabulous. Okay, well, all the listeners out there, you must be having as much fun as we are listening to Dr. Joe Vitale. What a fabulous presence in our world. And the things we talked about on this show that hit me the strongest was that ability to trust and the ability to be of service, to allow yourself to give the gift of yourself out into the world. And I know you've emailed me and said, hey, what happened to the 6 steps, Asara? One show you didn't have it. So we're going to make sure and do it this time, where we're going to go through the 6 steps to your theta brainwave. And while we're there, we're going to make our simple command, which starts with, I don't know how. So when you mentally, you know, don't do this if you're driving, but everybody else, just close your eyes for a minute and think a negative thought. And then mentally, just say, I don't know how, mentally right next to it. Now notice when you do that, what happens? The negative thought disappears. When we are in the theta brainwave, we are in direct consciousness with our subconscious mind. That is the vessel where our subconscious mind resides. And there's only now presence in that portion of our intelligence. That portion of our intelligence is 9 billion times bigger than our ego mind and our beta brainwave and our ordinary consciousness. And it's you that is in that intelligence. After that 9 billion time bigger intelligence, it's you, is universal intelligence and divine intelligence and higher self intelligence. But you have the intelligence of success DNA right within you. as we make the command through the six easy steps, you're going to command a change neurologically, biologically, physiologically at the cells of your body. You're going to unwind your DNA and rewind your DNA with that new understanding within you. So let's do it. Again, if you're driving, just listen. All right, so ground, come into your body. Good. Let that energy go down deep into the earth. Perfect. Bring that up into your heart and align. Just take that nice breath. Align with joy. Align with peace. Now let your eyes look up underneath your closed eyelids. This is how the masters through the ages have shifted their brain waves instantaneously. Imagine you're looking up through the ceiling, out through the universe, traveling out through the Milky Way, out through the black void of space, and popping up into the white luminosity of all that is. Mentally, just say the words, hear the words, feel the words. I don't know how. I open my mind and I open my heart to trust. I don't know how trust becomes an essential part of my nature. I don't know how it's easier for me to trust than any other emotion. I don't know how I accept I am trusting my intelligence. I trust the universe. I don't know how, it's just as true. The universe is got my back and supports me and wants my success. I know it's absolutely true now. Expand into an idea that's greater than the command. You're receiving all that knowledge right now through direct learning. Bring it down and unwind. Unwind, unwind. Let that DNA just go. I can't trust that. Not safe in the world. Let it go. And rewind, rewind, rewind right now with all of that new information that's your information for you. There you go. Fantastic. Woo! All right, I'm hot. Woo! Dr. Joe Vitale, thank you so much for being on the show with us, and we will see you next show.
Thank you. You're doing God's work. Godspeed to everybody. I had a blast. Can't wait to round two.
All righty. Very good. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
You've been engaging the quantum field of great new possibilities with host Asara Lovejoy. Join us the first and third Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Contact Talk Radio. And together, we can create a new mass consciousness of greater success and harmony. Invite Asara to speak at your events or for personal coaching, visit her at www.asara.com. That's A-S-A-R-A.com. Or see more about her worldwide seminars and programs at www.commandingwealth.com. That's commandingwealth.com. See you next time.